Ann Wilson admits that there was a time in her marriage to her husband Dave when she had a critical spirit that manifested itself with a critical tongue. There came a time when God convicted her about her critical spirit, and she learned to slow down and to think carefully before she said anything.
Before, I would just let my thoughts and my words flow. This time, I would take my thoughts and I would say, God, should I say this? That, stopping that and asking God that question, should I say this? I can't tell you how many times it stopped me in my tracks. And I would stop and say, should I say it? Should I say it? And so many times it was no, say nothing.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Maybe you can relate to what Ann is describing. Maybe you've had a critical spirit and expressed yourself with critical words. We'll talk about how to deal with that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So we're back with one of our fun Ask Dave and Ann shows.
Oh, boy.
Is it fun?
It's fun for you.
It is fun for me.
It all depends what the question is.
I get the hot potatoes, and I just toss them to you, and you have to grab them. Before we get into the issue of the day, though, this is the month of December, and we're coming to our listeners to remind you that this is a pretty critical time for family life. Over the next 4 weeks, the donations we receive here at year end will determine what happens for this ministry in 2020. So we're asking listeners if you will consider making a year-end donation. The good news is if you can make a donation here at year-end, your donation is going to be doubled thanks to a matching gift. I'll tell you more about that. You know, Mary Ann and I have already gone through the exercise and said, who do we want to support here at year-end? And we've already made our donation. Family Life is one of those ministries that we support because God's used Family Life in our life this year, and that's why it's on the list of ministries that we support.
Mm, and I think this is a critical time of year. I know that as a woman, I'm thinking, yeah, it's critical because there's so many things I have to do, I have to get done. But I think it is important to stop for a second, just think, what is important in our lives? What is critical? And for us, I know for Dave and I, Family Life and Family Life Today has been critical in helping our marriage. And so we're encouraging you to kind of stop and say, how could I help? How could I help keep this ministry going and to keep going?
I know a lot of couples do what we do. It's like, okay, who do I give to? Mm-hmm. Do I know ministry that's having a great impact? And do I trust them? I mean, there's a lot of other factors, but those are the top two for us.
Yeah.
And personally, Family Life has not only changed our marriage, but our legacy. And now sitting in this seat is changing millions of legacies. Yeah. I don't think I'm exaggerating, am I?
No.
Millions across the world over generations. And do we trust them? Yes. And so it's an easy decision to say, we want to make a difference. We're going to give to this ministry. And thinking it's going to be doubled.
That helps.
That's really big. Yeah.
That really is.
I know when I run into people and they say, we've been listening to Family Life for years, God's used it in this way in my life, in the back of my mind, I have this thought, that's where my donation went. That's why I gave, so that this would happen. Again, we're hoping you will prayerfully consider a year-end donation. Go to familylifetoday.com to donate online or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. To make a donation, and your donation is going to be matched dollar for dollar up to a total of $2.5 million. Help us take full advantage of that matching gift opportunity by making a donation today. Now, we get questions from listeners. We get folks who come to our Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways, and they have questions that they say, would you guys address this? So I thought we'll bring a few of these in here and just see where we go with them. And we've done this before, so it's one of those days. You ready?
I think Ann will do a great job. I can't wait to hear what she has to
say. We're
going to
throw it right back to Bob. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Here's the first question. This is in the area of conflict in a marriage. Somebody wrote to us and said, how do you express your needs and your feelings to your spouse without provoking defensiveness or without the whole thing becoming just a big catastrophe? And you've had both experiences of defensiveness and figuring out how to do it
and
right.
And catastrophes.
Yeah, okay. So If you, Ann, had something that has just been bothering you and you're going, I need to talk to Dave about this, and it's something that he's got a blind spot or he doesn't seem to care about this and I just need to express it, but I don't want him to get defensive and I want him to hear me clearly, is there a strategy for that? Well, first of all, you know how to do it the wrong way, right?
Well, I was going to say, no, there was no strategy in the early years. I thought it, I said it. And I didn't weigh it. I didn't analyze it. If it came to my mind, I thought it was worth repeating and saying. And it seemed like if I didn't do that, I would hold on to it. And sometimes it would fester and grow, and then I would blow up. And so both were horrible. And Dave was kind of taken off guard by where is this coming from, because he did get defensive by the way I communicated it.
Yeah, and you know, we've said this here before, but especially early in our marriage, if Ann would bring up anything negative, and she just told you, she did that without thinking.
Yes.
Right? And I probably did
as
well.
And I wasn't always mad. I would just bring it up and
no,
say it.
She was sort of a verbal processor, so as she was thinking it, it just sort of came out, and I became the guy that just avoided it. Mm-hmm. And so we've shared this, but I would literally walk out of the room or sort of shut down, or I remember getting in a car and driving away and going playing basketball and thinking, when I come home, everything will be blown over and we'll be fine. And obviously we were young and naive, and I didn't realize if you don't talk about it, it doesn't go away. It actually gets worse. So I had to learn, okay, not only to stay, I mean, that's one big practical step right there. Don't leave the room. Let's talk this through. But then secondly, to hear hard things. Mm. And I think that's one of the hardest things for any one of us. There's a DNA selfishness in us that when somebody, a good friend, and I have men in my life who will speak to me about blind spots,
right.
I've never in my life, even though I can say, this is good, you need to hear this, I've never liked it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this is hard. I don't have that blind spot. You're not right. I'm right, you're wrong. And man, in our marriage, I really believe your spouse, my spouse, is a gift from God to help us become like Christ.
Right.
That's part of the mission of marriage. It's the sharpening of one another to become like Christ. And so it's a gift that you have a 24/7 spouse that sees things other people don't see, loves you enough to speak the truth. But what we do is we run. And I ran. I don't want to hear it. And I've learned over the years, it's like, oh my goodness, God has given me a gift. I have to sit in that seat, stay, and be willing to hear, hopefully affirmation, but also the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love and what? Well, mature to be like Christ. And so if you're not willing to hear that, you're not going to mature like Christ. But if you are, man, it can really shape us to be who God wants us to be.
For you to stay, though, and you had to learn how to express your frustrations or your concerns or just your observations in a way that wasn't a personal attack, that didn't feel threatening. So how did you adjust the instant spewing and turn it into something that was more refined?
And and Dave did start staying. And so he would hear me out, but I didn't realize the way I was saying it was almost damaging your soul. That's how I would put it. It felt like disrespect, and I didn't realize that I started to critique him a lot. He would stay, he would listen, and he would say nothing. Hmm. And so I would say it again and again, like, oh, maybe he didn't hear me, because he would just be quiet in his response. And so I've shared this story before, and it's in our book, but we were speaking at a women's group, and I asked Dave to come with me. And I said, women are going to love what you say. You're so good at this. They're going to love hearing a man's perspective. And I said to Dave, like, are you in? He said, yes, I'm in. So we get up there, and he just starts talking about what it's like to be a man. And he says to these women, women, you know, I don't think you just get what it's like for us. Because as little boys, someone is cheering for us. And so then we get older, and there's a coach or a teacher or someone cheering for us, saying, you're good at this. You're great at this. And he said, and then I played college football. So I've had that in my life. I've had cheering. And when I met Ann, more than anybody in the world, she's cheering for me, saying, Dave Wilson, you're the man. You're great at this. And I loved hearing this as I'm sitting there listening, and the women are on their edge of the seat, like, this is good. And Dave's standing up, and he's animated, and he's talking about this. And he said, and then after we're married for a while, we as men walk in the door, and all we hear is boo, boo. And I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world are you talking about? He had never communicated that. He had never said it to me personally. He had never voiced any concern. And so we got in the car, and I said, what was that?
It's one of those long drive homes. You ever had one of those, Bob?
Yep.
I'm sure you have. And I was like, oh, maybe we should have talked about this before I said it publicly. But I did. I mean, she said, I'm not booing you.
I'm helping you.
I'll never forget. I'm like, all I'm ever saying is, well, it sure doesn't feel like help.
Yeah.
And that was actually catalytic because it was the beginning of a discussion, one, for me to be able to articulate what her critique felt like. And boy, looking back, I needed that. I needed the truth and love. But the way it felt like just chopping me down. She didn't believe in me, didn't feel like affirmation. And so it led to a conversation.
And I did believe in him. I just thought, this is motivating him. Hmm. That's what I thought. By pointing out his flaws, he's going to become more motivated to be better. And I really thought I was helping you, not realizing that my critique or my continual like, hey, you could do this or why don't you do this, made you feel like I wasn't respecting you.
Yeah, and I honestly did not even know back in the early days of our marriage that my core need, and I think every man's core need, is really respect. Mm. And, you know, now we teach that. It's in the Bible, Ephesians 5, where as a summary, and Paul's sort of summarizing sort of a biblical roles in marriage and how this lays out. He says, wives, respect your husbands, and husbands, love your wives.
Well, Dave, let me jump in here, because when I got home from that drive home, I went to God and said, God, is this true? Do I boo my husband, and am I not respecting him? And I felt like God said, yes, this is true. I looked up, I've read Ephesians 5:33 so many times, and so I looked it up this time in the Amplified Bible, and so this is what I read. It says, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, loves and admires him exceedingly. And I remember sitting there for a second, letting that soak in. And here, this is embarrassing. I thought, well, what if he doesn't deserve that? What if I don't see that?
Every wife has asked that question.
Do you think so?
Oh, sure. She's going, well, I'd do that when he earns it.
That's right. Exactly. And so I thought, Lord, that's impossible to do that. And I felt like God was saying, and that's exactly what I want you to do, Ann. I want you to respect him in this way, even when he doesn't deserve it, because he doesn't, and neither do you. You don't deserve to be fully loved unconditionally, but that's how I love and respect you and Dave. And so I went on this journey, and it was a journey of my tongue, because before I would just let my thoughts and my words flow. This time I would take my thoughts and I would say, God, should I say this? I can't tell you how many times it stopped me in my tracks. And I would stop and say, should I say it? Should I say it? And so many times it was no, say nothing. But other times I would ask, if he gave me that green light, my next question was, Lord, how should I say it? Mm. And that changed everything, because in James, when James says, anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously. And God would always give me this way of saying it in a way that was respectful. And the timing of it, too.
So I hear you saying two things. First of all, you made a conscious decision to turn up the positive affirmation, to say,
yes,
to cheer Dave on.
To thank him.
Uh-huh.
To see him, to notice the things that he was doing, and to thank him.
And then I hear you saying that at the same time, you began to adjust those helpful observations you were making in the past and say them differently.
Right.
Maybe at a different time or maybe in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about the different timing and the different way that you would say it. Let me just start there. If you were noticing that Dave's not spending enough time with the boys,
yeah,
how would you have said it in the early days, and how did you change to say it later?
In the early days, I would say, why are you always gone? The boys don't even know who you are anymore. That's not very motivating.
I can remember, it's like yesterday, hearing her say that as I was walking out the door to a meeting, you know, and again, I'm walking out the door thinking I'm providing for my family. I'm working hard. This is really all for you.
And it's the church. Yeah. I'm serving Jesus. Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, Bob, you know, sitting here almost 20, 30 years removed from that boo story, she started speaking life. Now, we'll get to this. She had to speak helpful truth as well.
Right.
And whenever we talk about this at a conference or anywhere, wives will come up and say, yeah, but I need to speak critical things to him. You're saying don't do that. And I'm saying, here's what I would say. No, you need to do that at times. But if that's all he hears, mm-hmm. he's not going to be motivated. But if he hears positives, affirmations, belief, respect, words, and again, sometimes you have to just unconditionally say those words. If that's what's going in that pocket, change, 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 and you pull a quarter out, your son, your husband, and this is true for women as well, it goes both ways, they're going to receive that much better if there's more affirmation. So that's what happened in our marriage.
So she increased the affirmation.
Oh, it was incredible. She started saying things like, you're a good man. You're a good husband. I remember when she first started saying it, I just looked at her like, no, I'm not. Wait, you've never said this. You've said the opposite of this. So I thought she was lying.
And part of it was, I felt like Dave got praise from everyone. Oh, the church is praising people, everybody. I'm like, he doesn't need that from me.
Yeah, and if I say it, he's going to start to get complacent and go, I am a good man.
Exactly. It will enable him to stay the same.
But here's the truth that I discovered, and I think it's universal, is when she started saying I was good, mm-hmm. good man, good husband, good father, good pastor, it's sort of like she raised the bar up, and I was thinking, I'm not that good. But what it did, it motivated me. Mm-hmm. To become the man she was saying I was that I didn't really even think I was yet. Instead of, why don't you do this? You shouldn't do that. Thinking that motivated me, that demotivated. And right. I think it demotivates men because respect is our language.
Yeah, here's the illustration I've used. If two guys go out to play golf and one of them's a rookie, okay, and he starts to swing and the other guy goes, oh, your stroke is all off, your timing's all off, you know, you don't keep your head down. I mean, your swing is all wrong. Then a guy's going to think, well, I'm just not good at golf. I should play another sport.
Right.
Because I'm not good at this. But if a guy says, you've got a nice this, we just need to correct a few things, but your follow-through is really strong, then a guy goes, maybe I can do this.
Yeah.
So if a wife is saying, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do that, the guy thinks, maybe I'm just not a good husband or father. Maybe I should go do other things where I am good, where people cheer me on. But if a wife says, you are good at these things, we can correct some things, but she starts pointing out, this is what you do that's good. A guy goes, well, maybe I can do this.
Yeah, right? One of the areas I remember, and it felt like continually critiquing me on, was spiritual leadership in the home. Especially with our boys when they were little.
I think I had this idea of what it should look like. And I always had Dennis Rainey in mind. I would think Dennis would do it like this, or Dennis wouldn't have done that.
And she used that name a couple times.
I did. I really did.
That really worked really well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But no, I remember feeling like I'm a good spiritual leader at the church. I'm not good at home. Even though I thought I was good. I thought I did it in a sort of different way. But I began to believe I'm not very good at it.
So you're going to spend more time at church where they're cheering you on.
Yeah. A man goes where he's respected. But I'll tell you something. I remember one night, you asked earlier, Bob, like, how would you say this differently? I remember one night walking out of the bedroom after putting the three boys down to bed. And again, they're young. They're probably 6, 4, and 2, something like that, and praying with them and telling a Bible story. As I'm walking out the door, she's coming up the stairs. I can see it. This is how powerful respect is to a man. I can see this moment. And she says to me, man, I admire the power you have.
I said, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of the power you have over our boys. You say a few words and they cling to every word. That's an amazing influence that you have, that they don't cling to my words like they cling to yours.
So what was she saying? She was saying the opposite of what she said before in a positive way. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you ever home? Why don't you ever spend time with the boys? She said it like, you have this power. So what happened? The next night, I'm running up to the bedroom. to pray with my boys because I'm like, yeah, I do have power. It's amazing. Thank you, God, for this power. Why would I miss this window in their life? And so, again, she wasn't trying to manipulate me, but it was a different way to speak truth in a positive way that motivated me.
And I had asked God, God, give me eyes to see the things that Dave's doing right. Many times we only look for the things that they're doing wrong. It's like I think we create neurological pathways to only see the negative. And so I was asking God to show me the positive. Another time, we use this example too, because Dave came home after preaching one time discouraged. And he was getting ready for bed. He said, man, I've had so many critiques of my messages preaching lately. And I could tell he was discouraged. And I'm so embarrassed to say this. But in the old days, I would have said, well, if you had spent more time in God's Word, your sermons would be better.
Wow.
That's so embarrassing. That came to my head. And so this is when I was brand new and learning it. And so I took it to God and said, God, should I say it? And then this thought came to my mind because I felt like he's saying, say it this way. And so what I said to Dave was, I can't imagine the weight you carry as a pastor and a preacher, because you have thousands of people depending on your walk with God. That has to be a weighty thing. I can't imagine how hard that is. And there was silence for a minute, and we were in bed, and he pulled me to himself, and he hugged me, and he whispered in my ear, you are my life. Hmm. Now imagine what it would have been like had I said the other. I don't think he would have said that. But it reminded me, Jesus, I need you in this area to speak life to Dave, but also truth.
And I was motivated by those words to get in the Word and do my job well. And I would just add this. It's real easy to apply this just from women to men. It goes the other way.
Right.
So all the men, all the husbands that are listening, it's like, wow, if we could see our spouse, see our wife the way God sees her, then we would then speak the words to her that God speaks, which would be words of affirmation. She longs to be cherished. So it would be like, okay, I can critique, but I could start with, I love you, I see you, I affirm you. I mean, how many times has Ann said to me, do you see? Do you see what I'm doing? It's like this thankless life she's living, and I can be so focused on my job and so focused on things outside the home, I don't stop and look at her and say, I love you, I cherish you, I appreciate you, and that brings life to her.
Well, here's the thing that I want to ask you guys is, for Dave and I, we're in front of all these women when I find out Dave has had this need that he's never communicated to me. Like, you never said you boo me. You never said I feel like you're not cheering for—you never had said that. You were just silent. It seems to me, from the women I've talked to, that men aren't as expressive as women in their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? And should men express the needs that they have in their marriage besides intimacy needs, physical intimacy needs?
So, why besides those?
Because I think those can be communicated because we hear those.
So I think— for a man to say, these are things I need, is to say, I'm weak and helpless at some level. What man wants to say to a woman, hey, here are my weaknesses. First of all, I'm giving you now a tool to know how to wound me. If you know my weaknesses, then you know how to hurt me. And secondly, I'm confessing that I'm not the self-sufficient man. And are you going to respect me less or love me less if you think, oh, there are these things that he needs. He's not self-sufficient. He can't handle himself. Who's attracted to a guy who's needy?
Every woman is, if it's not a needy, but to say this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm longing for. I want to hear that from Dave, but he doesn't usually express it.
So if Dave had said to you, I need your praise, your affirmation, your approval, and you had said, okay, I can do that, then the problem is the next day when you go, you know, you're such a powerful man, we're thinking, you're just doing what I told you to do yesterday.
So it doesn't count.
You don't really believe that. If you really believed it, it would come out naturally. If I have to tell you that and then you do it, it's like, you don't believe that. You're just doing it because I told you I need it.
Oh.
So I think that's part. You agree with that?
I don't think often we think through all that Bob just said, but it's what we're feeling. I'm not going to share because I'm weak. And we grow up with a wrong macho DNA that says a real man isn't weak. And so it's hard to say out loud. So, yeah, I'll stand on stage and say it to a whole bunch of women. Talk about being weak, you know. But, yeah, and all I know is this. Ann is my biggest cheerleader. I mean, it's real. She says it daily, how much she believes in me and thanks me and notices. And it really brings life to me. And so that story was decades ago, and it isn't the way she lives anymore. Yeah. She's learned to speak life, and it's really changed my life.
Well, and I think you've done a really good job of doing that to me. It's amazing how a simple thank you changes everything. The reason I didn't say those things to Dave before because I had this selfish attitude. Well, who thanks me? Who looks at me? Who appreciates me? It was this self-pity mindset that I had. And when I started to realize, when I'm with Jesus, he's saying that every day. Look at you, Ann. I see everything you're doing. And so it changed my heart. It changed my attitude. And so by simply saying, Dave, thanks for taking out the garbage, or thanks for being with the boys, or thanks for, you were amazing preaching today. Those are little things. Like it sounds like, oh, that's so simple to do, but sometimes our pride keeps us back from saying that.
So the action points from today are to improve your communication so that you can express what you're thinking, feeling, needing to one another. Turn up the volume on appreciation, on respect, on saying positive things to one another and building one another up. That's a biblical principle. Mm-hmm. Encourage one another, build one another up. And then secondly, when you do have to communicate something that is going to be hard to hear, think through how to say it and when to say it. Marianne and I have had this conversation. For her to say, as I'm leaving for work in the morning, I want to talk to you about something tonight, then I'm all day going, what am I, you know?
Yeah. Am I in trouble?
Yeah, right. So she's had to know first thing in the morning when it's fresh on her mind and she'd like to get it resolved, that's not the time to talk to me about it. I have to know that 9:30 at night when she's starting to fall asleep is not the time for me to say, hey, let's talk about this right now. We got to find that time when we're both alert and awake and can receive it, think through how to say it and when to say it. And then I think it's good to sandwich the correction in between two slices of affirmation. Mm-hmm. So to start off with a positive,
yeah,
then say, here's an area that I think could use improvement, and then come back around with another slice of affirmation on the other side. Just makes it easier to hear.
Easier to swallow.
Yeah. This is something you guys talk about in your book, Vertical Marriage, which, of course, we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. And I'd encourage our listeners, go to familylifetoday.com. If you've not read Dave and Ann's book, Vertical Marriage, it's all about how we can have the kind of marriage that God wants us to have if we are plugged in together to Him, if we're drawing our life from Him, if we are, as you guys like to say, going vertical in our marriage. We've got copies of the book Vertical Marriage in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get a copy. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com, or you can call us at 1-800-358-6329. That's 800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. We mentioned earlier how critical the next 4 weeks are going to be for us here at Family Life. As we head into a new year, what happens in the next 4 weeks, what we hear from our listeners and the year-end donations we receive will help us determine how much ministry we're able to do in 2020. Will we be able to move forward and reach more people more often with practical biblical help and hope for their marriages and their families? Will we have to pull back in some areas? All of that will be determined by what we hear from Family Life Today listeners during the month of December. So we're asking you, would you help us not just maintain, but move forward in what we believe is an essential ministry area in our world today? When you make a donation during the month of December, that donation is going to be matched dollar for dollar up to a total of $2.5 million. That's the reason we're asking you to be as generous as you can be here at year end. And if your donation is at least $50 or more, we'd love to send you a copy of a brand new couples devotional that we put together here at Family Life. It's a year's worth of devotions, one a week for couples to go through. It's called The Story of Us, and it's our gift to you when you make a year-end donation of at least $50 for the Ministry of Family Life today. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, tomorrow, we want to talk about how you calm kids who are really angry. Ron Deal talks with Tricia Goyer about that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.